We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Roddy, what do they do at quarterback, talking about the Patriots?
Well, you're probably going to have to find something in the later rounds or possibly even trade for a quarterback, but there's no way I'm spending the number 3 pick overall on Drake May. There's no way.
Rodney Harrison on the Patriots, who picked 3rd. Maybe you should call Washington, trade a 2 then. Imagine having the 3rd pick and just being, take one in the later rounds. Take a quarterback in the later rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Could all of this be a game by Washington that Drake May's been their guy all along, but they know New England likes Daniels?
Could be.
They're trying to sway New England into giving them something to move up one pick, and then they still get their guy?
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. It's draft week Thursday. We've got the draft. I'm just reading right now Adam Schefter. Intel, what Adam Schefter is hearing regarding this draft and what could come from it. So we'll pass along some of that information, like some of the rumors or the buzz he's getting from calling all these teams. Of course, the NHL playoffs are underway. You can give us a call if you want to talk about which Sabre scoring a goal was the most impressive to you, or former Sabre, because it's all former Sabres, even down to Jimmy Vesey. But it's draft week, right? And here we are. It's 4 days out. Got our wide receiver big board here. Saw a little bit this weekend about the defensive prospects and some of the ideas that the Bills might have. Laiatu Latu, that's a name that defensive end. He's now thought to be maybe the best edge rusher in the draft. He had some medical issues that I think a lot of teams have cleared up.
Yep.
He was a name, Joe, that I thought if he's at 28 and the Bills take him, I think a lot of people would have been really happy. Myself included, as long as they, do the right thing in the second round. Because, whatever, the Bills have maybe some more holes than they've had in quite some time. I don't think any of them are, other than receiver, are horrid at this point. But they've got depth to fill. We know that. We know that it's an important draft for them with 10 picks to fill a lot of ideas. So, Latu, I saw him mocked as high as 10 recently. So he could slide way up the board now that his medical has been cleared up.
We're tracking betting odds like just here and there, right? Like they come up across your timeline this morning. Pro Football Talk was writing about how Xavier Worthy, his betting odds are Bills or Chiefs, basically. Do you know where Laiatu Latu is now the favorite to go?
Well, it used to be the Rams where I saw him all the time, and that was 19. Now we're up to where?
DraftKings Sportsbook, as of 2 days ago, has Laiatu Latu as the favorite to be the 8th overall pick to Atlanta.
Okay.
He's the favorite to go 8 over Dallas Turner, just slightly. Which would be the top pass rusher in the draft.
Yeah.
So, 8. He's not getting anywhere near the Bills. If that is to be, taken in any sort of truth, that they have some reason to believe he's going higher than even the middle of the first round.
Yeah.
Because that's not even really trade-up territory. We're talking about this Rome Odunze trade to go get a guy like that. And, give me a break with that. I mean, they have a need for, I think, a high-level pass rusher. Do they have a need for guys to just go out on the field? They have bodies at defensive end. They could probably use one more. The thing they're missing at defensive end is the guy on the top of the list. Epinesa and Rousseau and maybe Vaughn, and then Tuhill, who they signed. Like, they have bodies that can go out there on the field. That's the difference to me between defensive end and receiver right now. If you were to list the Bills' top needs by position. Isn't wide receiver one, number one, and isn't wide receiver two, number two? Because that's how I thought of it before. Like, replacing Gabe Davis. That's their number one need going into the draft. Now, I still have that need, and I have Diggs replaced. So, to me, like, this is why I like the idea of double dipping. I think the top two needs on the Bills are wide receiver one, and then number two is wide receiver two. Is defensive end more of a need than wide receiver two?
Not right now. I don't think, not right now.
Because you have guys that can, again, you have a starting group that you could put out there. You brought back Epinesa.
You have accomplished players, right.
Right, and receiver, you have Mac Hollins.
Right, Mac Hollins, is he the same as, he's not quite Jonathan, or Kingsley Jonathan, who had been a depth guy for the Bills that, you know, they might like a little bit here and there. Okay. You know, as we get closer and closer, and I'm sure a lot of Bills fans have kicked it around, do we really want them to do the big trade if they could? If Chicago says at number nine, yeah, sure, we'll do it. You want to pull the trigger? You want to go for this thing? You want to make the big trade? Let's be honest. If the Bills were to trade up to number nine, which has been mocked by several people, even Mina Kimes on her latest over the weekend was endorsing the idea of the Bills going up to number nine for Odunze. And I get crossed up on all this. I'll admit, I get crossed up. Because I think it's just, it's almost too easy. It's right to a degree, but it's almost too easy to just say, trading up is stupid. Trading up is bad. And that's because it's process-based and not results-based. And I understand, Joe, like, you want to be process-based. You want to give yourself the best chance. But the draft, and whether or not you keep your job, and this is the key, you don't keep it on good process, you keep it on results. You keep your job on results. If you had good process and you finish 4-12, I don't know how many owners stick through that. And if you're the Bills and you're trying to get over Kansas City, how have the Bills been on process? Great. How have they been on results? They lose to the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. They lose to the Bengals in the postseason. That's what's remembered. Their process has been fine, generally. They have as many wins as any team in a four-year stretch. That's not won a Super Bowl. But what's the story there? They've not won a Super Bowl. They've not been there. If they had a team this year that wasn't as good as last year's team but made the Super Bowl, we would talk about that Super Bowl team as the best version of them. So I get crossed up on, well, you shouldn't do it because it's not smart. I don't disagree, but I feel like there are times where it's just worth it. You have 10 picks. If anybody would say more picks are better, can't I just trade up to number 9 and then have a series of other trade downs where I ultimately come out with more picks?
Mm-hmm.
Have I done better? I have more picks. You tell me more picks is better. If in the next 2 years I had 17 picks and I make this big trade up for Odunze, and by the time the drafts are over, I make 18 total picks because I trade down in other spots, have I done better? Like the draft value chart itself is built on the concept that higher picks are worth more. The Bears, if you do the value chart, have the fourth most value in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have 4 picks.
Right. Well, part of that, too, for me, like, trading up is, okay, well, you're losing volume of picks that you have. That is based in they are weaker than they've been in past years. That might be true. I mean, they were, but remember where we thought they were at. 2 years ago, they walked into the season where everyone agreed, everywhere, that this was the most complete roster in football. This was the most loaded roster in football. So, okay, you're not as deep or as talented as you were 2 years ago. You were number one. At least you were thought to be number one. So where are you at right now? Because man, I think it's overstated. I think a lot of the guys they lost this offseason were guys that were not impact players for them or were even on the field. We throw in guys like Tre'Davious White in that list. Someone was not on the field for them at the end of last season. We throw in two safeties in Poyer and Hyde that mean a lot to this organization and to fans. And it gets thought of as this giant, gaping loss that you had from last season, when in reality, those guys were only just guys at the end. They were not playing at an all-pro level. So what have I done to replace a lot of these positions? Like, to me, they're in the same spot that they've been. Is Mike Edwards and Taylor Rapp any worse than what Poyer and Hyde were for them last year? Like, I look at their roster and think that it's overstated. How many holes they have, how much depth problems that they have. What do they truly need? They need two starting receivers, and they need a backup running back and a backup safety. Is there anything else they desperately need? Maybe one more end? But we even talked about that with Sal. If they think Kingsley Jonathan is their fifth defensive end, I don't know. How desperate do I need to upgrade their number five defensive end spot if I'm not going to draft it in the first round? How desperate do I need to be to upgrade from Alec Anderson as the backup left guard? Because I hear a lot about their depth linemen as being guys that they're impressed by. How desperately do I need to upgrade backup linebacker with Nicholas Morrow and Dorian Williams, or all the tackles that they signed on the defensive line? Like, I don't see this massive problem for their roster other than a backup running back, a backup safety, and two starting receivers.
Right. Well, this, I think what it gets to is anybody that wants them to stay put, trade down, add assets, is that person that wants that wants training camp to start with 12 players that come in, and maybe one or two or three or four end up being great for you and you have a great draft class. Like, you can't get Matt Milano unless you have enough picks to take a Matt Milano in the fifth round. And that's not to say you should count on finding the next Matt Milano or the next Diggs. It's just, if you think the draft is a bunch of scratch-off tickets, well, then more scratch-off tickets are better than fewer scratch-off tickets. The problem I have with a lot of this is, it's not scratch-off tickets. There is randomness, and I've just started to arrive on that this year, that people think the randomness is fully random, and that's not. You know, go to a casino, walk around a casino, and different table games have different odds. Mm-hmm. They're not all the exact same. You know, look at the money line on 10 different NBA games tonight. They're not all the same. You could win all of them. You could lose all of them. Some of them cost more to get your win, and that could still be a loss, right? Like a to me, it's, yes, there are scratch-offs, yes, there's randomness, but the idea of trading up for Marvin Harrison Jr., well, you never know, he could really bust. Really? What is the legitimate fear of that? The last top-tier receiver to bust that was not injury or quarterback-based.
What's more likely? Marvin Harrison busting, or getting a player of Marvin Harrison's ilk, if he is what he's supposed to be, in the three or four picks that you trade out? Like, to me, it's not likely that you're going to get a player of that caliber. You might get good players. You might get guys that are going to contribute to you. But what are the odds you're getting someone that people think is going to have a statue in front of whatever city he gets drafted by, that's going to be one of the best receivers in football? Because that, by the way, like, look at recent history all the way back. Go back to Watkins. Like, post-Watkins, how often are the number one receivers, like, actually what they're supposed to be? Because I feel like it happens a lot.
Yeah.
That those guys are talked about as being studs, and then they walk in and...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
They're studs, right? Like, Drake London wasn't supposed to be insanely good, but he was supposed to be really good.
And we're about to find out how good he is this year when he is a real quarterback.
And even already, he's really good. Chase and Waddle were supposed to be star players at the position. They both went top 10. Okay, a couple years in, they're both
really good. Jalen Waddle really set good. The NFL record for receptions by a rookie.
Yeah, so I know it's not perfect, but the guys at the very top, I mean like top 10, are often thought of as slam dunks, and I feel like 9 times out of 10, they're slam dunks.
Yeah. Let's get some calls in here. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550 as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Frank in Rochester leads off. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
Morning. Good, Frank.
You can let me know if I'm off base. The way that I look at it, I don't want to trade for Ayuk, Higgins, or Jefferson because, you know, they're older and it costs a lot of money. I don't mind trading up, really selling out to get into the top 10 because I'm hearing that next year we have more cap relief, and if we lose some of those early draft choices, we might be able to replace via free agency as opposed to the draft.
Yep. No, you're not wrong at all. Like the idea that if they had fewer picks next year, they could just add players via free agency. They'll have room. You know, the idea of like Ayuk. Think about the Diggs trade and revisiting that. Thanks, Frank, for the phone call. That's not trading up. They traded their first round pick and a fourth to get Diggs. And what was the cost? The cost was, we will give you this because we know this player is not a bust. And that's really what it was, right? We will pay this because this player is not a bust. In fact, we think this player that's been really good for you can come here and be better. We'll feature him more, which is exactly what Ayuk would be wherever he goes. So I keep thinking about the idea of the draft and how trading away draft picks is irresponsible and you can't do it and it doesn't make sense. Yet, it's not the exact same, Joe, but I'm thinking about, to Frank's point about the salary cap. Teams take the salary cap and say, I'm going to trade away future cap for relief now.
Mm-hmm.
That is as standard as it gets. Hey, I got a quarterback. Let's move his money around and we'll lower his cap hit this year and take a bigger cap hit in the future because we can afford to think about that later. And right now I need some room and I need some players. I need to add two defensive ends. I need to add a receiver in free agency. How do I do it? I do it by trading away my cap space to the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, to me, that much different than putting together a package of picks to move up. How come in salary cap land, moving money down the line is seen as necessary, cagey, and let's be honest, downright brilliant? A GM moves $40 million into the future, and it's all about how, wow, what a move. How did he do it? Of course, it's like standard procedure. In the NFL, if you borrow from the future in the NFL draft, that's bad. So we know Bean and the Bills love to move up a spot or two, and that's really the big question here. He said in his presser, I like to go to bed Thursday night having got my guy. I got my guy. I can go to bed that night. Hmm. Who's his guy? Who's his guy this year? Because for anybody that wants them to trade down, I get that. There's plenty of merit to trading down and get double dip in the second round, whatever.
Hmm.
But that would be an indication that he doesn't have a guy in the first right. at all, anywhere.
Right. Yeah,
and could anyone really believe that the Bills are walking into Thursday night without being in his head thinking, I got a guy?
Well, you've mentioned the Matt Miller quote from ESPN over, like, if you want a receiver in the first round, you'll get one.
Yeah, he said that 2 months ago. If you want a first-round receiver, you can have one.
Well, what are the odds? This would be along the same lines. Like, from even eliminate the top three. From Brian Thomas all the way down to Keon Coleman. Like, there's a list of 5, 6, 7 receivers. What are the odds that Bean doesn't love one of them?
Right. Or they have one guy. And if they do, okay, they have one guy. At 28, they trade down in the second round. The tough part for me about reading mock drafts where you're going to just create a trade down is it has to make sense to A, that team, whether it's Arizona coming up, they've got to want to come up for whoever's there, give you more picks, and you have to be comfortable how far you slid.
Yeah.
Bean has traded down that I can think of one time of significance, and that was the James Cook pick. They traded down twice.
Yep.
Which was a real solid indicator they didn't have a guy, right? If you say it's important to me to put Bean's words against Bean's words, and I think he's being honest here. When he says, I like to go to bed Thursday night knowing I got my guy, that means if there's a group of four that are close together and there's one that sticks out a little bit, he's going to go up for that guy. And in the case of James Cook, when they traded down twice, if he says we have like four or five guys with the same grade, that's across positions. Think of how much you don't have your guy in that spot if you're willing to trade down twice.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they're on the clock for James Cook, we should probably ask, did they try to trade down again? Or was it just,
it's possible,
I guess we'll just get James Cook in this deal. You know, it's turned into a nice player, but there's no way he doesn't have a guy. And I said this on Friday. This is where I land going into Thursday, which is if they don't trade up, it won't be because they think trading up is stupid. It'll be because they didn't want to pay.
Right.
Or they couldn't agree on the price. But I bet he wants to trade up for somebody. I bet there's four or five guys in this first round that if they made it to 20, he'd go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Would he go to 10? Malik Nabers falls to 12. Is he going?
He's going to try, I think. He's going to try.
Depends who. That's the one thing. There's the board, and then there's, it's almost like we want to put a little star next to the names. Beans guys. The guy, yeah. He wants to go to bed Thursday night saying, I got him. I got who I needed to get. That's very telling of how he operates. He did that with Kyir Elam.
Mm-hmm.
He did it with Dalton Kincaid. The real question is, like, going into that night, was Kyir Elam that guy? Or was it the guy because Trent McDuffie got taken? You know, like, the draft is this fluid thing that's constantly changing, and you're preparing for all scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550.
I just would... Also missing from the trade-up conversation a lot, and I feel like this is more extreme of a hypothetical in this department than ever. Look at the value of different positions and compare them. Like, this is a thing with betting odds, isn't it? That if your left guard is out for a game, if your middle linebacker even is out for a game, what happens to the spread? Nothing, right? It never ever moves. It's pretty commonly thought of. The quarterback is like really the only thing that does it.
It's only quarterback and like Tyreek Hill.
Right. It's some of the star receivers as well. But to me, like, there's a spectrum here. There's quarterback that's like almost on its own thing, so I don't even almost want to count it. It's everyone knows that's just so far and above and beyond everything else. But for the rest of the positions, like, I'll hear an argument about left tackle or maybe defensive end, but for me, it's receiver. Like, that is, of all the other positions, what makes the most impact on your roster? What makes the most impact whether or not you are going to be a Super Bowl contender? You've already got the quarterback. What's next? And for me, it is absolutely receiver. I think it's obvious, especially maybe more than ever in recent years, the transformation of some of these teams and offenses when they add receiver talent. Look at and coaching I know is a lot too, but look at the difference of the Dolphins once they added Tyreek Hill versus what they were before that. Look at what the Bengals have become. Like, there are so many examples of the Bills, even with Diggs. That team adds a star receiver. Look how much easier everything looks. Look how much easier it is for that team to go deep into the playoffs when they've got that level of talent at that position. And not only do I have what the value of that position is, it's literally the one where I'd be hard-pressed for anybody to tell me it's not just their number one weakest starting position right now on the roster, it's their number two as well. Like, they're right now sitting here today, their two weakest positions
are the same position.
Are wide receiver one and wide receiver two. Those are their weakest starting positions. So if there was ever a time, given the point in your timeline you're at, the positional value that you have, and where you are currently at in desperation at the position, I could not design a better or an easier situation to warrant trading up for this player.
Well, trading up might make it tougher to get that second spot, but
even
then, we're probably underselling Curtis Samuel in this, but in like the 1, 2, 3, like numbering receivers, that it gets a little bit wonky with that because Samuel can probably play on the outside some, probably on the inside. They'll have him in the backfield. Like, he's going to do a lot of stuff for them, and I'm excited to see what they do with him.
Yep.
803-0550 on this. I've got a great draft-based instant trivia when we return. So stay tuned for that. Mark, we'll get to your call as well. Open phone lines, 803-0550 on the draft. It's 4 days away from the opening round, and of course, we are ready for all the chatter on the Bills and what they do. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
NFL Draft Week, we are 3 days away from Thursday's first round, which will have full coverage throughout the week here on WGR. The latest in draft rumors, more along the lines for betting odds, the Bills and Chiefs are the favorites for Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy. Stay tuned again throughout the week as the draft gets closer. The playoffs got rolling over the weekend, NBA and NHL. In hockey last night, crazy game between the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche, 7-6. It's the first 7-6 playoff game since Sabre Senators in 2006. The Winnipeg Jets come out on top. Casey Mittelstadt had his first goal in a loss for Colorado. Rangers beat up on the Capitals 4-1. Canucks win over the Predators 4-2. Panthers over the Lightning 3-2. Games from Saturday. All these were game ones. Hurricanes over the Islanders, Bruins over the Maple Leafs, including the NBA. All 14 home teams won their home games in game one between the two leagues. RBC Heritage at South Carolina's Harbortown finishes this morning, 8 a.m. Scottie Scheffler has a 5-shot lead. Other than a giant collapse, he will win again. Those are your Paddock Chevrolet Sports headlines. Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.